Welcome back to another Theobite. It is Zach Packy with Zach Deacon and with Sean Mustian here today, and we're bringing yet another instance from atheist.org. As you've been listening through, you've been noting that we're getting all of this straight from their website. And it's actually one article that we've been looking at concerning claims toward the Bible contradicting itself. And we look at a couple texts today, this morning or this evening or wherever you're listening. We're recording in the morning this morning. And we are looking at one that they're claiming is a contradiction from Ezekiel 18:20. Listen carefully. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. And they claim that this contradicts what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, where it says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And so if I'm representing them accurately in their claim this is about punishing crime, is the Bible consistent when it comes to the punishment of people? Is a child guilty of his father's sins, or is the person individually guilty of the sins that he commits? So the claim is that the Bible is inconsistent with those things. First, I want to say this. Are you considering categories again? I just had a conversation in my church with folks and trying to explain the nature of category distinctions. If we're talking about one thing or if we're talking about another, and the question is, what categories are being brought out? Ezekiel 18:20 is talking about the basis of judgment, justice, for the person who faces penalties for a crime. But Exodus 20, verse 5, is talking about the consequences of sin and its effects. Those are two different things. The child is not guilty of the father's sins, as if when they get into glory and they stand before God, your dad committed this sexual sin and therefore you are culpable for it. But the point is to say that the effects of the father's sins do indeed influence the children's sins.
One thing I'm going to just interject this real quick. I'm not really going to go anywhere with this besides noting that in the Ezekiel passage, it is singular, it's father, more particular to like an individual circumstance. In the commandments in Exodus 20, verse 5, it's talking about the fathers. There's more of a national kind of picture here, which would go in line with later on when we read, children, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Again, that is more of a picture of the nation, not so much individuals. So there is a different approach that Ezekiel and Exodus is taking. One is, like you're saying, one is dealing with that singular individual idea that a son is not going to be punished because his father was a bad person, whereas Exodus 20 is dealing more with the plural and the idea of a group of people.
Yeah, you guys hammer on context a lot. I mean, the precursor to Ezekiel 18:20 is, well, I mean, everything, you know, the 19 verses before it, but specifically, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine, the soul who sins will die, but if a man is righteous and does justice and righteousness and does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel or defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman during her menstrual period, if a man does not mistreat anyone but returns to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery but gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing, if he does not lend money on interest or take increase, if he turns his hand from injustice and does true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my judgments and is careful to do the truth, he is righteous and will surely live, declares the Lord.
Yeah, and I love what you're bringing out is what Sean was talking about too, because you see the individual nature of what's being talked about compared to what takes place with what happens with the nation. Doug Stewart, he has a commentary on Exodus, and this is what he says concerning the text of Exodus. Quote, it does not represent an assertion that God actually punishes an innocent generation for sins of a predecessor generation. Rather, this oft-repeated theme speaks of God's determination to punish successive generations, listen, for committing the same sins they learned from their parents. In other words, God will not say, I won't punish this generation for what they're doing to break my covenant because, after all, they merely learned it from their parents who did it too. Instead, God will punish generation after generation to the third and fourth generation if they keep doing the same sorts of sins that prior generations did, end quote. It's consistent throughout the Old Testament that the sins of each individual will be paid for by that individual. Listen to Deuteronomy 24:16. Fathers shall not be put to death for their sons, nor shall their sons be put to death for their fathers. Everyone shall be put to death for his own sins. And what Zach brought out from the context of Ezekiel 18 is that it's the soul that sins that will die. And so he's emphasizing the singular punishment upon the one who commits sins.
And let's remember the biblical presupposition we step into this text with. Mm-hmm. As Paul quotes numerous parts of the Old Testament in Romans 3, none is righteous.
Right. Yep.
So let's just be clear on that point, that there's never been a person under the judgment of God that can claim to be innocent, can claim to be without guilt. So we walk into this question with the presupposition that none is righteous.
Yeah.
Do you think it's interesting, too, to maybe point out the fact that in God's giving of the law in chapter 20, verse 5, that it ends with, and those who hate me. We're talking about individuals who are, you shall not worship them or serve them, that being idols. You shall not make for yourself an idol or anything, any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them. And the implication is that those who are worshiping them mm-hmm. hate God. Mm. And so I think that it's not I'm just going to blast those I have a problem with and visit iniquity upon people that just don't like me
right.
or may have children who are disobedient. I'm kind of seeing this as like, these are people who are worshiping idols who hate God, mm-hmm. and God is warning them that his iniquity will be poured out upon those who worship false idols.
Yeah, his judgment.
Hate him. Yeah.
Yeah, his judgment. The judgment that he would bring against an individual is the same judgment he brings against a corporate people who commit the same sins,
yeah.
which is what I would argue what is being talked about, what Ezekiel talks about on an individual level, Exodus talks about on a corporate level. It's yeah. the same thing. Individual people and groups of people who commit the same sins are worthy of the same punishment. And I just want to say, by way of application, this should change America's whole perspective on social justice that is predicated upon the idea that a son is guilty of his father's sins, that the son needs to be punished for the sins of a father. And when you reject God in your thinking like America has, you get the very injustice that these atheists seem to think the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
We are that unjust as a society. This whole idea that current generation, young people crying out, you live on stolen land, when the whole worldview of socialistic communism mm-hmm. is all about stealing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is based on covetousness. If covetousness were an economic system, it would be socialism, it would be communism, mm-hmm. it would be those things that the society is currently going toward. And secondly, by way of application, this would transform the thinking of many in our justice system. To many, it is common to give mercy to felons who perpetrate crimes because they're a part of just a bad society. Mm-hmm. But when we understand the justice of God, those who are a part of that bad society are yet guilty of committing those sins, and he's not going to just brush it under the rug. Oh, well, you had bad parents, or you had a bad upbringing. You lived in a bad part of town. No, God will bring righteousness and justice to bear on every single person, regardless of their background,
yeah.
in order that, well, the reason why I would say this now is so that one would flee, would not expect God would be bribed in that day when they see him face to face.
I think it's cool, too. I hadn't read Ezekiel in a while until we decided to do this little bite here, but perhaps it's a good segue into closing this little Theo bite, that when we talk about the wicked in 20 and before in Ezekiel 18, that really it's an opportunity for us to then talk about verses 21, 22, 23, mm-hmm. that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked,
yes,
and that all the transgressions which he has done will not be remembered against him. If he turns from his sin.
That's right.
So
I love that. Why do we talk about the wrath of God? So that people will flee from it in order to find the mercy that's extended to them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for joining us on this little Theobite. Lord bless you. You have a great rest of your day.